Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Zach's Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Mike Whitler, who's Chief Operating Officer at ECR Minerals. How are you today, Mike?
I'm good. How are you, Zach? Thanks for having me.
Very well. Lots happened since you came on board at ECR, but today's news is the sale of your non-core assets. Maybe you could run us through the what happened there and the logic behind that.
Yeah, sure. When Nick and I joined the company, we'd already identified that there was an inventory of assets which had seemingly been overlooked by the market. So we kind of came in with a private subscription, non-brokered subscription, raising £580,000. We probably could have raised twice that, but we were cognizant that these assets sat within the business. I think investors had grown particularly frustrated that previous management hadn't been able to find a disposal of them. And Nick and I came in and took a view that we needed to do, you know, whatever was necessary in order to not only dispose of them, but get as best the price as we possibly could get. And I think when we came and we looked at the valuation, somewhere to the tune of about $800,000 to $1 million, we probably would have took half that at the time. It seemed like a great opportunity, but we've been able to do a transaction where we have sold and disposed of a heavy piece of plant equipment. We've received the funds for that, $70,000. And we've also signed an agreement with a company to purchase the Cortec drill rig from us. It's not suitable for purpose for the work that we're doing, and therefore it's a great opportunity for us to realise some cash. So it's $53,000. Deposit which we paid early January, but we're informed, and then they'll make 9 installment payments of $33,000, and that pretty much exceeds our sort of G&A expenses each month as well. So, you know, one could argue that the company is now is able to sustain itself through the lease agreement on the Cortec rig. So it's a nice place to be, but I think, you know, the wider business. And the focus from our operational campaigns is, I'm sure we'll talk about that, is the key focus for the business. But we've also got a theory now that if we spend a little bit of cash getting planning permission for the 20 acres of land package that we own at Brewing Lane, we can probably dispose of that on competitive terms too. So all in all, when we finally get to that disposal, we should have been able to bring in quite a substantial amount of cash. And what that would mean is, it underpins the business, it puts us in a stronger position, and it gives us options, which is great.
I suppose it also underlines the way that quite a lot of small sort of mining companies or exploration companies who tend to over-acquire licenses and projects and everything else, and almost like a scattergun approach, and that almost undermines their strategy going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we ended up with a lot of the equipment and properties that ECR have held historically. You know, in the glory days when the company had a 20, 30 million quid valuation and 10 million pounds in cash, or I think it was like 6-7 million quid in hard cash and some warrants that were being converted like confetti because they were well in the money. I mean, the company was in a strong position, so they bought houses. They had 2 or 3 drill teams out at any one time. And they kind of use the diamond drill like a scattergun, you know, to use the same phrase. And they spent a small fortune on it. So we think that we need to have a bit more of a defined strategy. I can kind of sense why previous management did that at the time. Now, having looked into the history of the business, they needed to get licenses renewed. You have a minimum spend commitment to get those licenses renewed. And I think at that point, the company were obligated to spend a substantial amount of funds to get those very, very interesting licenses, secured with extended license applications at that point in the cycle of the business. So, yeah, they went out there and bananaed quite a lot of cash.
Right. And so today the headline is you sold your non-core assets. What is the sizzle in your core assets?
The sizzle in the sausage. Look, we've had a great campaign up in Queensland. We've got about 900 plus square kilometres at Longworth. We've got an asset under application at Condaparinga. When Nick and I joined the business, we were looking at that point to do an acquisition of an asset up at Hurricane. Those assets were interesting, reasonably good, but perhaps overpriced at that point in time. And we'd had the benefit of looking over the fence at Condapringer, which sits just on the adjacent to the Hodgkinson Gold field and province. And we thought that was extremely interesting. So actually, rather than complete that acquisition, we decided that we'd continue to progress our assets at Lulworth and would apply for the Condapringer asset. When that license is granted, we'll do some more work there next season. And we've got some additional results which have guided the market to come from Queensland, and they may well come before the new year, believe it or not. So, yeah, I mean, we've had a great campaign there. It would appear that perhaps the market wanted a little bit more sizzle than you know, the arduous job of reconnaissance work out in the field, which is, you know, rock chip samples and sedimentary samples, soil sampling. And we took the view that the assets in Victoria were of interest to us, and we wanted to get back out in the field and do some work. So we've actually started drilling there. There will be a slight break over the holiday period, naturally, and then we'll kick things back off. But, you know, we've said to the market from the very beginning we would get things done at an increased pace. One of the big complaints in this business, the things were just not happening quickly enough, and I'm hoping now we've demonstrated that. And, you know, the early signs from our drilling are extremely encouraging. Adam Jones, the technical director, was out in the field last week, and, you know, we just in one of the holes we hit, I think, six different quartz zones. And in order for us to find gold in that part of the world, you want to see quartz and you want to see oxidated quartz. And we've seen multiple sort of zones within one of the drill holes that's has been presented with that. We can't guarantee and say that there will be good gold there, Zach, but there's gold at surface, and we've seen, you know, exceptional results and grades sitting at surface. So we're hopeful that the subsurface, as with the old timers, will present us with an interesting and great opportunity here. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. And yeah, I just want to reassure shareholders and investors as well on the periphery. I've been accused of being a little bit lackadaisical in some of these interviews and being a bit too casual, and that's just part of my nature. You know, I try not to take things too seriously in life, because, you know, if you're working, you know, long hours, as you know, Zach, you've got to have a good sense of humour. And I think, you know, there's been some comments about that, you know, that we seem like the Ant and Dec double act, and, you know, how serious are we taking it? Well, we hope now that within 3 months, with two operations moving ahead aggressively and the disposal of assets and a new license under application, and hopefully, you know, those big sort of ring of the bell results from our, you know, drilling campaign in Victoria, that people see actually that we're taking it very, very seriously. And and the results that I've had today have been pretty, pretty interesting. And, you know, the board of directors haven't taken any cash back. You know, they've suspended their remuneration package for shares as well. And Nick and I get paid in shares based on success too. So we think we're doing things differently, and hopefully the market will eventually start to warm to that, and we'll see that reflected in the valuation, is the hope, sir.
All right. So, I mean, just to sort of summarize what you're saying there, I mean, obviously it's all about the results. So whether you're upbeat or downbeat, the results will speak for themselves. So that's probably something to look at. But I suppose the other thing that people are looking at, and obviously I've been looking at as well, is that the shares have been down to 0.2p. They were, I suppose, this time last year, near 1p. It seems to be a value situation. And if you're not, you know, burning cash and you're getting some cash in from your sale of assets, then this situation should have a decent risk reward.
You would hope so. I mean, you know, I think it's fair to say that that previous management had been the stewards of some pretty debilitating value destruction in the company, you know, from 1.25p down to where we are today. I think the thing that company's got going for it is, apart from the private subscription that we did when we came in 3 months ago with some shareholders and investors that supported us, the company hasn't raised any other funds apart from, I think, the previous raise to that was at 0.90p. So one would argue is, once you get through this bit of sort of choppiness and turbulence, and the market starts to warm to the idea that actually these guys are going to get something done. And the geology is interesting. I mean, we're seeing a huge amount of activity from Novo Resources, who are out in the field diamond drilling at the moment. They were sort of infamous for the Pilbara thing. a few years ago, and Southern Cross Gold. I mean, I've never seen this in my life. Zach, announced three drill holes, the best one being seven intersects between 100 grams and 4,190 grams. They've got 330 meters of mineralization at an average grade of about 7% or 6.5% gold. Sorry, 6.5 grams of gold. So, you know, huge, huge results for Southern Cross. Fosterville generates $500 million a year in gold with a valuation of about $24 billion. So, yeah, I mean, we think the postcode's really, really good. We understand previous management spent a lot of money to keep those assets. We're grateful for them. And hopefully our drilling will start to sort of reflect some of the other positivity that we're seeing. But, you know, we understand shareholders are frustrated because of the decline in valuation, and it's our job to try and, you know, reconcile that. But we do understand people are frustrated, and we're here, we're in your corner. We hope that we've aligned ourselves in a way that is quite striking and different to the majority of others out there, and we'll do whatever we absolutely can in order to drive that value within the business. And as you say, you know, results are everything. Grade is king. We'll get the first lot perhaps after we start the second sort of phase of this small drilling campaign. So, you know, there's a couple of swings at the bat. We're not going out there with a looking for a big Hail Mary or home run type situation. And we've got some other, you know, news coming from other parts of our portfolio. So, yeah, we're cognizant of the situation, and we believe we're the right team to be able to reconcile that.
Just finally, I mean, you've got your ECR hat on there, but 2023 has been a brutal year, and even companies that have done nothing wrong, they've seen their share price go down by 50% or more. Do you think that this is just, you know, we are at a bottom of some kind, or we're at a low, and that 2024, you know, in a way, a touch wood, couldn't be much worse, just on a macro level or in terms of sentiment or liquidity?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, aside from ECR, I'm sort of known for being an investor in the markets myself. And as you said, I've seen lots of companies that have had a pretty brutal time of it. And I think what we have to do as investors, we have to have a strategy that's robust enough to ride, you know, these big sort of deep down periods in the market. And it seems to be deeper and longer than most that perhaps we've seen. But, you know, I suppose that hangover from what was the big COVID boom, if you want to refer to it as that, was always going to come. And it's far more brutal than people anticipated. But, you know, I think you just got to stay in the game, hope for that wind of good fortune to turn a corner. I think we've seen that anyway. I'd say the worst's out of the way, in my opinion. You know, there's a big buzz around uranium. So, of course, people are focused within that area. I saw a lot of companies that mined some money that were lithium-based. You know, whether that can meet expectations, I don't know. And I think the copper gold story is a really strong one. So for anybody out there who's got exposure in that area too, I think it's a good place to be. Arguably, the big discovery down in Idaho from Hercules Silver, I think, drilled a hole down there. And this gives you an idea about geology and how it works. I think they drilled something like 200 holes in Idaho for silver. And in somebody's eternal wisdom, they decided they'd go down deeper and see what was beneath. And there's a huge porphyry copper discovery. And they've drilled now to a kilometer deep, and they're still in mineralization. So it just goes to show you the surprises that one can find. So, you know, again, maybe the silver market's got a run too. But look, you know, we could spend all day talking markets in general. So it's been brutal, as you say. But you know, you've got to be in it to win it, and you've got to sort of sit yourself in a position that you think you're best suited for. And I think after all these years, we are where we are. And you know, Nick Pollock has a huge sort of amount of credibility, ex-nominated advisor, you know, lawyer by training, and 25, 30 years in that side of the corporate side of the market. I think it helps sort of balance the maverick approach that perhaps I may apply at times. So between us, we feel like we offer something that's beneficial to the market. And so far, you know, we're seeing things slowly grind up. But yeah, let's hope and see whether we can, like I say, get something out of that drill which gets people excited.
Mike Whitlow, Chief Operating Officer at ECR Minerals, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, sir. Take it easy. All the best, Zach. Nice to talk.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.